It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Evening, one and all. Welcome to the Flower Hour on Kansas City World, brought to you by the beautiful guys at East Podcast Nation. I am here with my co-host. He is the salt to my vinegar. Not only that, we do have a very special guest tonight. He is David Jones' favourite son. He is Mr. Andy Campbell. How are we doing, mate? So thank you so much.
Good evening. Yeah, I'm very well, mate. Yeah, thank you very much.
Awesome. So we figured out.
Is my internet playing up, or is your internet playing up again, Rob?
No, mine's fine, mate. I can see you fine. Yours is.
I know, it's just buffering a bit for me. Andy, you getting any issues?
Yeah, I'm all right. I can see everybody. Yeah.
So it's a Matt Angel problem, cool. Man. Obviously, guys, this is the review show. We'll talk about a little bit about what's happened today, the fun that happened at Kansas City Stadium this afternoon. And obviously, got the wonderful Andy Campbell with us as well. So I'm sure you guys have lots of questions, as do I, for him as well. Ange, obviously, you was there today in attendance. How was it being there?
I was quite surprised, really, how many empty seats were there, considering it was 50% off as well for tickets. I was disappointed, really, with the overall attendance. The Middlesbrough fans were in good voice, in fairness. I'm not sure if Andy knows, they got a gentleman who stands at the front, Yusuf, so they were asking Yusuf to sing songs throughout the day, but I think we started well. Unlucky, a sloppy goal to concede right before half time, and it just ruined us, really.
And you obviously watched the game. What was your, I'm going to put your Cardiff hat on for a second. What was your thoughts of it, mate?
Goals change games, don't they? And I think when you give goals away on the stroke of half time, and then you give another early goal away after half time, you know, it's the two worst times to give a goal away. You know that the manager's team talked about being set just before Matt Clark scores, and then half time you regroup, you go again, you speak about what you want to work on, how you want to do things in the second half, and you give another goal away, and then you go and give another goal away very quickly, and by then it's game over, you know. And I think there was nothing to play for both teams. I think Middlesbrough handled that much better. I think they played with no fear. Listen, I think I know we're going to go into the season as a whole, but just in isolation in this one game, I think, you know, I think the manager got probably things all wrong. There was nothing really which excited Cardiff fans. The players didn't at times probably look disinterested, and maybe Middlesbrough's bonus was they were away from home. You know, they've got their last game of the season next week, and I think Middlesbrough will probably have the same thing. If you don't get the fans excited, and you don't get excited yourselves, then it's hard to really be up for a game, which means nothing for anybody.
Yeah, I've never seen a Cardiff City Stadium empty as quickly as that, considering it's the last game as well, and fans were asked to stay to the end for players to. It's bonkers.
Yeah, I think. Listen, I think from a supporter's point of view, I think they've got every right to probably voice their concerns with not being there. It's been a very frustrating season. You know what I mean, with the expectations about bringing Aaron Ramsey back to the club and having a new manager in place and doing everything that they're trying to do. It's finished in a real negative way and a real heavy defeat, which it shouldn't really happen. You know, the players there today, no fear. You know what I mean? There's nothing on the game. Go and give it something. Go and finish on a high. Next week now becomes pressurised for everybody. You know, an away game, which didn't need nothing on it, I think has a lot on it because the manager's under a lot of pressure. I think all the players are under a lot of pressure now for a game which should mean nothing. I think now becomes quite important, and it shouldn't really be like that. And I think players have to take responsibility today, along with the staff. But the fans are the ones who suffer. You know what I mean? They suffered today. They've suffered the majority of the season, and next week's going to be a tough one. Because if you're a Cardiff City supporter, do you waste your money, your time and your effort to go and watch a game which means nothing, with next season in mind? Or do you go there full of optimism that you're going to see a team put a shift in and put the effort in for the badge and for the club, you know?
A bit of a quick question for you.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? I think obviously you let the hardcore fans will go.
As a obviously ex-forward, what importance does like a forwards coach have on you as a player? Obviously, when you doing your career, obviously you have managers and things like that, coaches around you, etc. But as a forwards, I'm assuming you had forwards coaches during your years as a pro. How important are they to you in your development?
I never had one all the way through my career, you know. I think it's only now recently, I think they've come into fruition. They've come into their ideas, defensive coach and attacking coach, goalkeeping coach. You know, listen, they're all specialised positions. And I think for a centre-forward, for movement, to understand positionally where you should go, where you shouldn't go, shooting drills, even defensive work for understanding when to close down, when not to close down. I think it's so important. And I think only from a coaching point of view now that I understand how important it is to defend from the front. You know, as a player, I did run around like an idiot and probably over exerted myself in times when I probably should have kept things probably less energised and kept my shape a little bit. But it was just the way that I played. And I think now sometimes you look at a game in isolation and similar today, Middlesbrough keep the ball across the back and as for a centre forward, it looks as though that the players aren't bothered. And I'm not saying they're not bothered, but they're told tactically and technically to just keep the shape and stand behind the ball. But as a supporter, you're desperate to go close down, you know what I mean? I'll use Matt Clark as an example. Matt Clark's not technically the best footballer in the Championship. So for me, when he's got the ball, sometimes he's uncomfortable if he's on his right foot. And for me, then you've got to go and close certain players down. And I think from a supporter's point of view, it's frustrating because it does look like it's pedestrian. It looks like it's just the players look disinterested at the time, but it's not. It's a case of tactics. It's a case of managers picking when and when to go, attacking coaches, centre-forward coaches picking and choosing the right times. But for me, I don't know. I think sometimes we complicate things too much and just go back to basics and team is more important than certain positions or individuals at times.
Yeah, because it makes me wonder, like, maybe I got my blinkers on, but I think you look on paper at our team, it's not that bad a team, but then some of the chances we're missing, and then on the other end of the pitch, there's some of the goals we're conceding. I do wonder whether it's more of a coaching issue from that perspective, from that position, which is causing the problem as well. I know, obviously, these guys are professionals, and I mean, these guys have been professionals for many years, but I do wonder whether, if it's like, you know, whether it's a defender, goalkeeping coach that we need to reassess, as is the same for a striker, attacking coach. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. I'm just trying to pick things together and trying to figure out what the issue is there with it, you know?
It's difficult because the manager's brought his own team in, or usually a manager brings his own team in. So if a manager brings his coaching team in and he brings his own goalkeeping coach in, he brings his own defensive coach, his attacking coach, then it's the manager's responsibility to make sure that it all works, because he's fronting it all up. He's got to take responsibility for team selection, getting tactics right, coaching, etc. So it's his decisions to make those calls. It's his decision to get things right, get things wrong. So the buck always falls down on him. So he's under pressure now to make sure that if he needs to make changes within the coaching staff, he's got to make sure that they're done correctly, and they're done as early as possible in order to move the club forward. Because if new players are going to come in, the club needs an influx of players, in my opinion. I know we'll probably talk about that. Things need addressing from the top. Listen, the club is a bit of a mess in terms of the way it's been run, the way that it's been handled probably in the last few years, and it just needs to be better. The fans deserve better. The club deserves better. The whole city deserves a really successful club. But getting out this championship is the hardest league. You know, like Ipswich Town have gone up and potentially going to go back up again. You know, next year we're going to get three decent sides coming down from the Premier League. We're going to get some teams who are decent coming up. And then we're going to have a Southampton, a potential Leeds still in the championship. So it's going to be even harder to get out of it. And every year it's going to get harder and harder. So Cardiff can't afford to fall too far behind, because one year they'll have a bad season and they'll fall through the trapdoor. And, you know, and that goes for every team in the championship. Middlesbrough in that back category, Swansea in that back category. You know what I mean? The teams who potentially could have fell down, who fallen out of it today, you know, it's really, really disheartening. You know, it's really difficult.
Do you think Aaron Ramsey might fit a player coach type role next season, and considering the amount of time he's been out injured this year?
Yeah, listen, I hope so, because the knowledge and the experience that man's got. Listen, he was an unbelievable footballer. He's an unbelievable footballer still, but he hasn't been on the pitch enough. And I think in his own admittance, I think he'll be disappointed with that. But his body's telling him something. You know what I mean? The amount of injuries he's picked up is unavoidable sometimes. When you get a little bit older, he's put so much strain on his own body that he's probably got to understand that he's got limitations, you know. And if he can pass his knowledge on, his experience on in another way, then absolutely fantastic. But I think younger players more evidently will benefit from that. And I hope that he can be utilised a little bit more. I don't know if he is now. I don't see it if he is, but I think I'd love to see him take a more hands-on role. And then, listen, he's one of our own, you know. So I think fans will relate to him a little bit better. I think it will give that connection from supporters to the playing group a little bit more of a higher regard. And I think that they need that. And I think they need a little bit more positivity. They need probably a few more local players who understand the club, who understand the Wales mentality, the fans, and make a little bit more progress, because it does look a little bit lifeless, you know, in all fairness.
Yeah, agreed.
And that's disappointing. That's disappointing when I say that, though, because I'm not saying players don't care, but I think, listen, I came through with a lot of Welsh players. I was told how local players, Rob Earnshaw, Danny Gabidon, James Collins, Andy Legg, Jason Bowen, you know, Martin Marginson, all these lads who loved the club and had a real understanding and a connection with supporters. And we were scared to let people down. You know, I remember the first season of losing the playoffs against Stoke City. I understood that night the importance of what we'd underachieved and how much letdown we'd done to everybody. And going into the playoffs the following year when we got promoted, how scared we were to fail again. So, you know what I mean? And that was just, that's a group of players, you know? And I think it's good to be scared. It's good to go into games understanding the importance of it. But I think players need to take responsibility. And I don't see that maybe in the group of players now. And I don't know if that's a 2024 thing, and that's a different mentality of football in a minute. But, you know what I mean? We need to get back of looking like a team, and instead of just having a bunch of individuals just flitting around the football club.
What would... obviously, go on. Sorry, bud. I just wanted to ask Andy the question. I don't know if you've been on the end of a thumping like that and seeing fans go out, you know, on 55, 60 minutes. But do the players feel that after the game? Is that a massive disappointment as a player if you see your home crowd leaving that early?
It depends. I think your affiliation with the club. Listen, I've been beaten for Middlesbrough 7-1 by Arsenal, and I was scared to show my face that night. The next day, going to the shops, doing normal stuff, you know. So for me, I took that as an embarrassment, you know. I remember getting beaten in the playoff final. We didn't get heavily beaten like that, but I wanted to get out of Cardiff that night and come back home for a couple of days to try and refresh my own mind and just get out the fire, you know what I mean? And I think sometimes you've got to take responsibility, and if you don't take responsibility and you hide away, it's not the right thing to do, you know. It's sometimes you can't wait to get back on that horse and ride again, and, you know, I mean, get on the next game and move on. And I think when the season's more or less done and over and finished, it's really difficult, you know, that some players will probably know their future doesn't hang around in Cardiff next season, so they won't want to get injured and things, and people will be wanting to play for futures, for example. It's so open air at the minute, football, because it's all about the individual. Players have so much power now, you know. I mean, clubs have lost the power within football clubs, and I think that's the problem that we've got.
I do one that you touched upon earlier, mate, about when you were coming through and all the Welsh lads that come through when you were playing, etc. Do you think it's a case of the club has lost this identity, its DNA as to, you know, where we actually are and where we should be? Do you think?
No, I'm totally. I totally 100%.
You look at the academy players going about now.
Yeah, but listen, we've got we had a span of the team full of Welsh players who were local Cardiff fans, born and bred, and I think you need that hunger. You need that you need those kind of players who understand the link between the fans and the players. Listen, as a young Middlesbrough player, I knew the importance of what a local player meant to supporters and what the club meant to me. And I think sometimes you forget the importance of that. And I think that's down to the manager, that's down to the club, that's down to the coaches, to get those kind of players back in there. Listen, we've got young, hungry players at the club who probably deserve an opportunity, who probably could have started today or played today. Manager decided to pick a couple of different players, and I think sometimes you need that. You need those kind of players for fans to relate to. You know what I mean? Like, young, hungry players will get more of an opportunity, and fans will back them, because even if they get beat heavily, they'll still continue to run around, put the effort in, and love the football club. When you're 4-0 down at home and there's not many of those kind of players, fans lose interest like today, and it's hard to see fans voting with the feet and leaving, you know, because listen, I know Ninian Park how hostile that place was, and we need probably to get that winning mentality at the new ground, to call it a new ground, you know what I mean? But it needs to be a hard place to go, and I think a lot of teams have come away from Cardiff with quite a lot of joy this season.
Yeah.
Interesting. No, that's a really good point. And it's just, obviously we'll get on to some players and stuff like that in a bit. Before we do, Ainge, do you mind going over what's coming up?
Yeah, it's just... Obviously, we've got a couple of these legends nights that have been announced. I know you come down for a night just before Christmas, I think it was, and down the Rama Tavern. Lovely to see you.
Yeah.
I think the next one we got is on May the 10th, Willie Boland. So I just wanted to ask you, you know, question what your memories were of Willie as a player, and anything you can share about Willie, really.
Willie as a person is a diamond of a bloke. Listen, he was my neighbour. I lived next door to him in Cardiff. When he left Cardiff and came to Hartlepool, he came to live with me in Middlesbrough. So I've got a good affiliation with Willie and his family, his kids, etc. So as a person, I can't say a bad word about the man. You know what I mean? He's a legend of a bloke. Loves a drink as well, so like, you know, even bonus, you know, that I've never seen anybody drink like he does, which is just unbelievable. So if you go in the evening, you're in for an absolute treat. Yeah, just don't give him milk. If you want to get on his nerves, give him a glass of milk. One thing you can't drink is milk, which is a bonus. But on a serious note, as a footballer, he was very underrated. Every team needs a Willie Boland, and when you look at the things that he does, and I'll put him in the category of a Robbie Savage, you know, who runs around and does the dirty stuff that nobody likes to do. He did that and enjoyed it. Not many people enjoy doing what he did.
I think that was why he was loved so much. Yeah. Just because he had that type of mentality, he wouldn't stop.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I think that's good, you know, and I think he made a career out of it and loved doing it. And I think sometimes when you've got that heart and desire, it goes a long way, and fans loved it. Fans loved him. He had a good reputation. He had that good link with the supporters. He worked hard, played hard, partied even harder, and fans loved that.
Perfect. Should be a good night on May the 10th.
That gives me CO vibes, that does, because I get that feeling from him, see, that he works his ass off. Like, he's obviously never involved in goals and things like that, really, like an assist, etc. And he gives off that vibe. I love him. Angel loves him. I'm not sure if you do, Ann, as well, but he's just one of those players that just works so goddamn hard and does all that dirty work for you.
Yeah, no, 100%. No, listen, he didn't. I remember a goal he scored. We played Dover away in the FA Cup first round, I think it was, and he scored a free kick. It was the worst, ask him about it, it's the worst free kick I've ever seen. I'm not really sure how it went in. He kicked the floor, the wall jumped up and just trickled over the line. And he'll tell you different, by the way. He'll tell you that that he bent it in for 35 yards. Because there's no video footage of it all. I tried to find it. Absolutely not. It'll be black and white video for that.
What was your experience of the night you come down to Cardiff, and was it something you enjoyed, that like Legends Night? Is it, you know, what would you say to a potential fan who might be interested in going, do you think?
If you've got a love for Cardiff City and you've watched Cardiff City from where they were when in our area with them when we played Go Along, because the stories are unique, the stories are honest. We had a love for the club. I wasn't a Cardiff City fan. I fell in love with the city. I fell in love with the club. I fell in love with the players. I fell in love with everything about this. And I keep coming back because everyone's just so nice to me. It's definitely Go Along. It has a great vibe about it. And like, long may they continue. Because you know what? It's nice for us to be able to reminisce and talk about those experiences because we're not local players and we can't do it very often, it's nice to be able to do these kind of things and talk about our experiences because football doesn't last forever, you know, for a player. And I think when you support a club, it's you go through the highs, the lows, a lot of lows as a Cardiff fan, as a Middlesbrough fan. And it's difficult. And listen, now I'm a super fan. I go to all the Middlesbrough ones from 86 when it's the Burnley Slavens, the Gary Palaces, etc. So I still do now what you guys do when we come over, you know, so I'm no different to anybody else. You know, when I run the podcast with Si on his Podcast Nation, and we had the Emil Heskies on the show, we had other people on. Listen, I played with those guys, but I was a fan. I loved asking the questions. I was just sat, just loving life and just really enjoy doing it, you know. And I think it was, I think when you've got love for football and just love listening to people talk about those kind of times and eras, because football now is so distant in terms of where it used to be, you know, there's no fan and player link anymore. It's a business, and I don't think that'll ever come back. If I'm perfectly honest, I don't think I think the gap will get bigger, which is such a shame because football is such a fans game, and without the fans, football's nothing. Because I think you saw that in COVID.
Yeah, 100%. Gents, I'm gonna have to love you and leave you, gents. And it's been lovely to see you, my friend.
My pleasure, mate. You take care. Look
to love you and the family. I hope your daughter's still smashing the goals in as well.
Always, mate. Yeah.
Yeah. Happy day. She doesn't follow her father then. Take care, guys.
Sorry, Ange. No, nice one, Ange, mate. What was I going to say? He's completely lost my train of thought now.
He just dropped that box on and then ran away, didn't he?
I know. Absolute snake. What was I going to say? Oh, it can't be that important. Jump quickly to the comments. Ryan says, Upper Borough. And hey, Matt. Well, Matt's gone now. He's dead to us. So, hey, Rob and Andy. How I'd like to talk about, mate, before we start on about questions, etc. Errol Bullitt, should he stay or should he go?
Oh, listen, it's a real difficult one, you know, for the and I'll put my management hat on. It's a really difficult job. Listen, to being a manager of a football club is a really difficult job. It's even more difficult to come from another country and try and put across your own ideas, your own philosophies with players. The Championship's ruthless. It's the hardest league I've ever come across and seen. Really difficult. But at the same time, we also need to have consistency and continuity, and I don't think the club's going to have that to keep on changing managers. So it's a very difficult one. You know, I mean, if you're asking my personal opinion, I'm not sure that it's worked with the manager in place. I would love to have the consistency. I think that he's had some good games, but not consistent enough. You know, and I think sometimes when you don't have the consistency, you live and die by the sword. It's a results business, and today just alone in the game in isolation, when you put a performance like today against a side who's in and around you, who aren't great, aren't playing with confidence, and aren't pulling up any trees all season, that they're the kind of games that should be close. You shouldn't be 4-0 down in the game after an hour against a team who's underachieved all season.
Do you think that, realistically there, mate, where do you think, on paper, Cardiff should have finished the season?
Listen, league tables don't lie. So the dessert where they are, you know what I mean? They've had a consistent start. I thought they did okay at the start. I thought that, but then they had a real bad time. The Championship's ruthless in terms of you need to string 3, 5, 7 wins together. You know what I mean? Over a short period, if you win Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, you can fly up the league very quickly. Cardiff have never done that. Middlesbrough have never done it, and that's when the show that I do about Middlesbrough, it's the same thing. We talk about the same thing. The teams who've been consistent throughout the season are the teams who've strung back-to-back wins together. And when you don't have back-to-back wins, you fall down the league as well, and you get caught into something which is just, it's just inevitable. You know, that the teams who are going to get relegated this season deserve to go down because they've been the worst throughout the season. But the teams at the bottom have caused Cardiff problems. The teams at the top blew Cardiff away, so they're lucky that they're beating teams in and around them. And obviously, beating Swansea once this season is good for the club, good for the fans, but it doesn't really excite anymore. You know, they need to do the double over them. You know what I mean? And if they didn't win the first game, it puts severe pressure on the second game, for example. And I think the manager has underachieved, and I think there's a real difficult decision to be made. I think he's put himself under pressure next weekend for the last game of the season, which I didn't think he needed to do for today. I think today should have been more positive and shouldn't have been a 4-1 game. But in the end, you give goals away just before half-time, just after half-time, and then get blown away in the first 15 minutes of the second half. You just don't give yourself an opportunity to succeed.
Sorry, Si, I will say hello to you in a minute. But like, it just says a lot about the Championship. Excuse me, like when Leeds losing 4-0 to QPR last night, you know, that speaks volumes about how crazy and unpredictable the Championship. Leeds, who are knocking on doors for automatic promotion, to get done over. Maybe, was it at home? Were they at home last night? Well, they lost 4-0 to QPR. So, it's bonkers, mate.
Yeah, well, listen, Leeds beat Middlesbrough Monday, 4-3, blew us away. And then they're playing last night and they're going to get beat 4-0. They were going into the game full of confidence. It just shows how unpredictable the league is. But the teams who win and do well, or the teams who do well, go for games. They attack it from the off and they go for it. And unless you've got that kind of mentality, you're going to struggle. And look at the game today. Neither side went for the game today. Middlesbrough just got the goal at the right time. If Cardiff had got the goal at the right time and went for it, I believe they would have upset Middlesbrough and blew them away, because Middlesbrough have been sloppy all season from the off. You know what I mean? They've lost against all the bottom five, get beat at home by Plymouth, get beat at home by Bristol City. They don't score against Blackburn Rovers. So, you know what I mean? The bottom seven, bottom eight are the teams where everyone can upset you. You know what I mean? The QPRs of this world have been poor all season, but then they go and beat Leeds 4-0. It papers over, cracks a little bit for their point of view, but it puts a dent in it. And yeah. I looked at it, it's a free game for Cardiff City. It's a free opportunity for Cardiff to put a marker down, give the fans something to go home happy, talk about the excitement for next season. Now, you're grumbling on, talking about players look like they don't care. Is it the right decision to have the manager for next season? And these are the conversations that shouldn't really be happening, but they are, because the league table's not great, performance levels aren't great, and heart and desire from today is just wasn't there.
Hello, Simon.
Hi, I just came along to say, just to say hello to my friend Andy. How are you, my friend? You good?
Good evening, mate. Yeah, I'm good, mate. Yeah, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. It's all right. Enjoying my day off, isn't it? I wanted to ask you a quick question. I'm sorry. Do you think the manager? So, statistically, in terms, you know, the league table, we haven't been in a relegation battle, etc. And I think if we'd won today, we would have matched the amount of home games won since they last got to the playoff. But I think, and he's done all that without a striker, even, you know, the three strikers or four strikers we've had over the season, none of them have been anywhere near good enough.
Yeah.
But I think he's also brought on the problems himself by the negativity at home. And even today, like, the one thing the fans wanted to see today was Ashford, was Joel Colwell, was Reuben Colwell, was, you know, Conte. From the start, they were more interested in seeing the young players and building on the Southampton game, not seeing the likes of, you know, with no disrespect to these players, but like Josh Bowler and Callum Robinson, who are not going to be here in 2 weeks. Like, there was no need to bring them back in. And I think it causes a frustration. So then when you do concede a few quick goals, the fans are just completely disconnected. And I guess the question is, do you think what should have been an easy decision for the board has now ended up being a decision at all? Because I think there is a chance that they don't keep him on, which seems strange.
Listen, I totally agree. I think he got his team selection all wrong. I think, in all honesty, I think both managers have probably been too predictable in terms of playing players who potentially won't be there next season. I don't see the point. Middlesbrough had a lot of young players on the bench. They brought a few on, which is brilliant. But why not start these young players? A, you'll see if they're good enough. B, the fans want to see them because they know that they're the future of the club, potentially. And they know what they're going to get from them. They know they're going to get heart and desire. They might not have the quality yet, but you only get that by being thrown in and being given those opportunities. And for me now, I think it's put unnecessary pressure on the last game. You know what I mean? Where it should just be a nice week's training. Tomorrow won't be nice. You know what I mean? The kind of publicity that you're going to get from a heavy defeat at home. All week's going to be a little bit negative, and then you're going into the last game, and it's not going to be a nice feeling. You know what I mean? Like, being there, and it didn't need to be like that. I would have liked to see both teams go for it. To be fair, like, and have a right go, and that's from someone who's talking about a club who's just won 4-1. You know what I mean? They didn't go for it. You know what I mean? They just blew Cardiff away in a 20-minute period of. Bad defending, goals at the right time, you know. So, you know, I mean, there was good parts for Middlesbrough, but horrible parts for Cardiff. And I think when you look at the, there wasn't many positives. Yes, they got the goal right at the end, but half the fans had left anyway. So it was irrelevant goal, which is so disappointing for the team, for the players. But it's I can't blame supporters by doing that.
No, I agree, mate. It's frustrating. Go on, Rob. I'm gonna love you and leave you anyway. I just wanted to pop in and say hello. Have a good rest of the show, and Andy, I'll speak to you soon. Robert, I'll speak to you later. Take care, my friend.
Sure, buddy. Interesting comment here, and from Chris McCarthy, but now he's clueless.
Fans are allowed to give whatever opinion they want, and you know what I mean. If you're talking about today, he can't be far off, right, in terms of what witnessed today. You know what I mean? Team selection wrong, tactics wrong, looked lifeless at times in long periods. So it's a real listen. The manager's a results business. You know what I mean? You live and die by the sword, and today he's massively. Being let down by players, but also let the players down as well. So it's a collective responsibility, but a manager has got to take responsibility and step up and stand up and front it all.
What I found interesting, and I don't disagree with what Si said, by the way, about playing X, Y, and Z when we know that they're not going to play for Cardiff next year, but Robinson and Bowler both combined to score Carrick's only goal. So, you know, maybe take out a pinch of salt, but, you know, they were the only ones who managed to craft a goal from him, mate. But who, obviously, if and when Bowler does go, who would you, do you have someone in mind that you would want to have to take the helm? And go
I think,
for it,
listen, the league shows no mercy. You know, I think you need someone who knows the club for me. I think you need someone who's got that affiliation with the club, within the club maybe. I'm not saying as manager, but you need someone who has that affiliation, who the fans can relate to, who can get those fans rallying, get them going. I just think they miss a trick sometimes when you bring in a whole coaching team of people who don't know the philosophy of the football club, don't relate themselves to supporters, and sometimes you need that consistency and continuity of people who love the football club, and there's a lot of players who do that, ex-players who are into coaching or who could maybe bridge that gap from supporters to the football club, and I think that needs to be Yeah, listen, Sol's done his badges. He loves the club. He's doing good things. It's a big first job. Listen, whoever if it's an ex-player, it's a big job. Whoever goes in, what players, and I wouldn't like to see anybody, someone like Sol, go into that football club and fail. You know what I mean? Because I think that would leave a sour taste with supporters, because they wouldn't. You go from being a hero to then being a villain, because it's even worse when you lose your job. You know, and I think. Sometimes that's difficult, you know. It's returning to a club. Sometimes people say never return to a club, you know. And I think sometimes, you know, I mean, a lot of people saying it when Aaron was going to come back, you know, I mean, don't go back because you've already left that legacy. You've already been a success. Don't ruin it. Don't ruin your own legacy. His is different because it was a long space of time. If they do get rid of the manager, they've got to make sure that the next appointment is the right appointment. It's got to be done strategically. It's got to be done correctly because. It's a huge call from now on.
Yeah, what I was referring to, sorry, and with Bamba was because he was part of Lamucci's coaching staff, wasn't he? And
yeah.
I thought that worked. I was personally a big fan of Sabri Lamucci. I thought he'd done
did
well.
A decent job. Well, yeah.
He had Bamba. You know, do you know what I mean? He done well. He had Bamba with him, who knows the club. And I thought that worked well because he had that automatic connection. And I just wonder whether I personally would have pulled the trigger on keeping Lamucci personally. I don't dislike what Bullitt's done. Jesus Christ, he's kept us safe. Like, you know, we're safe. About 6 weeks ago, we were safe. In the championship, you know, but I suppose it just depends on the club's aspirations, doesn't it? You know, what is the next step?
And finances as well. I think financial, you know, because financial fair play is involved and getting rid of a manager. Is there a payoff going to be involved? How much have we got for a new coaching team to come and flush throughout? New players are going to have to come in. It's ruthless now because you've got the parachute money from the Premier League teams is a massive gulf. It makes the league so unfair. But you know what I mean. It's I wouldn't be complaining if it was given to the club. You know, so it's a real difficult one.
Reece brings up a good comment here. Just read Dalman said he's hoping to get Bullitt a new contract over dinner tonight, but soon and admitted it's a bit of a ridiculous situation at the moment. So.
If I was taking Bullitt out for a meal tonight, I think I'd throw my dinner at him.
Yeah, it's,
I think there's a time and a place to sit down with somebody. It's not after a 4-1 defeat in the last home game of the season.
Not after a 4-1 loss at home to Middlesbrough, with all due respect to Borough. It's not after a 4-1 loss to Borough like. So before we start coming to a close, I won't keep you past the hour, mate, if that's cool. I just wanted to check some questions your way, if that's all right.
Yeah, of course.
And obviously give the chance to the beautiful people in the chat to ask some questions for you too. One thing I want to talk about with you is captains. You know, obviously, I messaged you about the captain situation a little while ago, but in your opinion, during your beautiful career, who's the best captain you've played for?
I've probably got two. Two big captains at club level. My first one was Nigel Pearson at Middlesbrough, went on to be a really good manager at Leicester City. Led by example, was scary, did everything he needed to do, and he was real, real tough. And I think that's what you needed. He led the changing room. He fought battles for the players internally and externally, and he was like a real leader. And the second at Cardiff City was Cav. Cav was brilliant. Cav gave us everything that we needed. He made sure that there was no stone unturned in terms of expectations from players, expectations from staff, expectations around the place, that he was a real leader. Well, wore his heart on his sleeve and give everything he'd got, and demanded that from us all as well. You know what I mean? In every training session, every game, and for me, those two certainly stand out.
See, from your examples there, I must admit, I never watched Nigel Pearson play apart from being a coach, you know, so I get the impression he's quite a talker on a pitch.
Yep.
Did you react more to a talker, like a loud speaker on the pitch, as opposed to a silent captain?
Yeah, yeah, I think you have to now. I think you've got to be. I think talking now and communication now is key in the football club. You know, I think a good football club and a good dressing room can be led by a captain. You know what I mean? The manager doesn't need to do a lot, you know, and I think I look at the real successes, you know what I mean? Sir Alex Ferguson, you know what I mean? He had Brian Robson in his changing room. He had Steve Bruce in his changing room, you know? So when Brian Robson came to Middlesbrough, he instilled that at Middlesbrough. He got Nigel Pearson to come in and do that job. And I think good managers get the right people and they just run the changing rooms and run the clubs, really. And I think it makes their job a lot easier, because if a happy changing room for me is a happy club, because without supporters, clubs don't work. But without the players, and without the right players and right people, the changing rooms just don't work. And there can be a real negative place at times. But when you've got the right person running it, there's no negativity in there.
Reece mentioned a nice little comment about Cav. Not surprised about the Cav one. You had a story about the other day about him having Keane up against the wall at Sunderland by the neck. Did he have that in his neck, Cav?
Listen, Cav wasn't always nice. Like, let's be honest. I've been on the end of things from a captain. I've seen other players be on the end of things from a captain. But whatever happens in the changing room stays in the changing room. And that's just life of a footballer, you know. Listen, there's arguments, there's fights, there's things that you regret, there's things that you probably regret not saying at times. But we all say things and do things for the right reasons, because we care. We hate losing, or we hated losing. And when I see games like today, I think will have been arguments and fights within the changing room. I very much doubt it. And if there wasn't arguments after that game, then why wasn't there arguments after that game? Because there was so many things wrong with just today and this season that for me, heated arguments and conversations should be had, because people should care.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly said, mate. One person I'd like to ask you about, which Angel mentioned about, obviously, the ex-pros nights we're doing coming up for Ace Podcast Nation, etc. Joe Ledley. He must have been quite young when he was with you at Cardiff. Do you have any thoughts on Joe when he was playing with you?
Listen, you could tell from a real young age when Joe came and trained with the reserves, trained with the first team, came in and around the group, that he was ultra talented. You knew he was going to go at the very top. You knew he was going to be an international footballer. You knew he was going to play at the very top club level. Went on to win so many trophies at Celtic. His natural gifted left foot was just, he had a wonderful left foot. His attitude was brilliant. And he was a nice guy, more importantly, you know, that he was very humble and showed the right attitude to want to get better. And I think at Cardiff at the time, and fans related to him because he loved the club, he loved the city, and he was a Cardiff fan. And I think when you've got a player who's that good, but a player who loves the club that much, then just go play.
You mentioned about Scotland. Obviously, you went up to Scotland briefly. How would you describe your time up there?
Difficult. Listen, if you play for Celtic, I can imagine it being quite easy. Or Rangers, or maybe Aberdeen at the time, or one of the big boys. But I played for Dunfermline. We played against Celtic and Rangers, which is a great experience. I played against Celtic at home for Dunfermline. We got beat 8-1. They had Neil Lennon, they had John Harkin, Roy Keane, Henrik Larsson, Chris Sutton. They had the best of the best at the time. And they absolutely blew us away. It was 8 going on 28, if I'm honest. It was difficult. Same as Rangers, go there, don't touch the ball for 80, 85 minutes and just try and keep the score down. I played against Celtic in the cup final and it was 3-0, but it probably could have been the same score again. It was really difficult, but when they do the split in Scotland and you play against the teams in and around you, I like the split because the split meant that you were playing against teams in and around your levels. And not then my own levels, but at the levels at the time, we needed to fight against teams that were in and around us, and we ended up staying up and not getting relegated because we had enough within the season to beat the teams in and around us. But it's a nice opportunity to play at Parkhead, at Ibrox, at Hampden Park, Easter Road, at the Todgery, and play against all the best sides, the good sides, with the big attendances. But the golf in class in the league is outrageous. And I'd like to see Celtic and Rangers potentially in England to see if they can mix it up a little bit and do as well as what the fans say. But in reality, is that ever going to be possible? I very much doubt it.
Has your headphones gone or something?
No, I've not got headphones in. No. I might have had.
Oh, there he is.
I might have had my hand over the microphone.
He got so carried away, he had his hand over the microphone.
I held the phone differently.
It's not a dwell.
Sorry, my girlfriend just texted me and just said I've gone quiet as well. I must have had my hand over the microphone there. Sorry.
She said, "That's the quietest you've ever been, I expect, was it, mate?"
Yeah, she wasn't complaining, probably.
Just a quick one, not to dwell, sorry, on the Scottish League, etc. But how did that come about then? How come you moved up to Dunfermline? Went to play for Dunfermline?
Well, I went into Cardiff one day and my best mate, Dave Jones, told me I wasn't wanted. So I had to go somewhere very quickly. And there wasn't too many options if I'm honest. My agent had spoke to a couple of clubs. I had an opportunity to go to Holland, to go and play for Den Haag, and at the time I had a young family, so I don't think that was a real offer. It was back up north, which looked quite appealing for me. It was closer than Cardiff was, really, in all fairness, to go back home and then build a different life. Because I needed to get out of Cardiff. I had to leave because I was training on my own. It was a real difficult time mentally, and I wanted to play football. And then when the offer came there, I went down to go and speak to the manager, and it was appealing. Listen, I played against Celtic, Rangers, some good sides. They were in the quarter final of the cup at the time, so it was an opportunity to get to a cup final, which we did, and played. I started in the final, so it was a decision that. It was the right one in the end, and then I left there in the summer. I did a year there. I left them in the summer, and then I had to go again look for another club. But it was a good decision for me. It's just the standard of the league is difficult, really.
I appreciate it. Thank you. So before we start wrapping up, etc., guys, make sure you get your questions and things like that. Because I don't want to be myself just the one who bombarded Mr. Gamble with all the questions. This may well have been asked to you 1,000 times over. Who was your favourite strike partner that you've had during your career?
My favourite strike partner, well, I probably got three different ones in three different eras. I will say eras. I've three different clubs. So when I was at Middlesbrough, I loved playing up front with Brian Dane or Hamilton Ricard. You know what I mean? There were two big men, physical men who did all the stuff that I didn't enjoy doing. You know what I mean? They were getting battered off centre halves and give me an opportunity to do the stuff that I wanted to do. When I went to Cardiff, it was lovely to play with Thorny or Leo, you know, because they did also those things that they'd flick the ball on, they'd give me a chance to play behind and do the things that I really enjoyed doing and
can't hear you, mate.
You know, he took the pressure off me. Someone was trying to ring me there, so apologies. In England, it was Emil Heskey. Same thing. He took the pressure off me. Did all the things that I ended up doing. So it was nice.
Oh, a nice guy as well. He is Emil Heskey, by the way.
I had him on our show. It was really good.
Come on,
really enjoyed playing with him. Yeah, top man.
Rhys David Evans asks, is there any chance of an Andy Campbell show return?
Never say never. Listen, I'm quite busy at the minute with certain things, and never say never. I do enjoy my podcast. I do enjoy talking about football. My love for Cardiff City, as everybody knows, is true and honest. And one thing I do is I don't pull any punches, and I say what's on my chest, and I think that's what probably people like about me. It probably doesn't do me any favours at times, but yeah, I'll never say never.
Hey, as long as you come back on a flower hour, mate, that's good enough for me. So I'd appreciate it.
That's fine by me, mate. As long as the door's always open, mate, I'm up for it.
Always, mate. Absolutely always. This is recorded now, guys. You can all hear it. Andy Campbell said he will come back.
Definitely, 100%. 100%.
No, I appreciate it, mate. Honestly, thank you so much for this. Obviously, we'll start a wrap-up now, man. I don't think there's much else to cover. Obviously, before we finish, unless obviously you have anything else to say, mate, but thank you guys so much for tuning in. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, do all that beautiful stuff. For the price of a pint of Carl in a month, you can become a Patreon and get exclusive access to shows like, obviously, you've got the wonderful Willie Bowen coming up. In less than 2 weeks' time. Obviously, Joe Laidley coming up then a month or so later. Rhys David Evans said, all I heard was Andy's offering to buy pints for every question. but no, guys, thank you so, so much. Massively appreciate it. And Andy, thank you so much, mate, for coming. Honestly, absolute dream come true. I didn't go too fanboy on you, so I'm quite proud of myself. But no, thank you so much, mate, for joining us. And we really
That's
hope
great. Come on, thanks for having soon. Me.
My absolute pleasure. Without further ado, there's only one thing left to say. I'll leave it up to you, Mr. Andy Campbell. No pressure.
Thanks for having me on the flower hour. It's not wrong in it, it's wrong in it.
Upper flower.
What power flower?
Upper flower. Sports Social Podcast Network.